In our study of the book of Acts, we have come along in chapter 8 and to a new incident. If you have your Bibles with you, and we'll open them at chapter 8 at verse 26, we're going to see a new development in the course of experience so far as the record is concerned. Now, what we have been having, I will remind you, has been something like this. The gospel has started out, of course, in Jerusalem. Pentecost took place in Jerusalem. The early disciples, the first persons to believe, were in Jerusalem. And they believed to the extent of some 5,000 people. Great things happened. Many people were affected. The whole community was stirred. Opposition arose. And the disciples were forbidden to preach. They went on preaching. Peter and John had been thrown in prison, brought into the court. They defended what they were doing as being from God, and they preached right in the court where they were. On another occasion, they had been forbidden to preach, thrown into prison, and then when the officers went to get them, Peter was out on the street preaching again. The whole thing was one of excitement. It stirred the people. Many, many people were being turned to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the leaders in Jerusalem, the leaders of the religious situation as it was, finally felt that the only thing to do was to destroy these people. And they opposed them to the point when Stephen was giving his testimony. Finally, they called Stephen into the presence of the council and stoned him to death. And he was, we commonly call, the first martyr of the Christian church, that is, after Pentecost. And then, you will remember, they drove them out of the city. And these people went everywhere preaching the word. And we have been having, in our last several studies, we have been noticing, looking at, Philip going to Samaria and preaching down there, and how the people had responded. And then we had the incident when Peter and John went down there to make sure they would come to know the Holy Spirit, how Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy this power for himself. All these things had happened in the earlier part of the 8th chapter. And now we're coming to something new. We turn to verse 26. And I think if we just read it, we will see it. It'll be familiar to you, but let me, just as I read, draw some attention to some of the things. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south. I have to stop right there. And I have to say to myself, how many of us would be left behind? Now, let's just be honest. How many of us would just be left behind? We'd still be standing on the curb. Look at it. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. I wonder amongst us how many of us just doubt there ever is such a thing as an angel of the Lord. I wonder how many of us are willing to believe that the Lord is alive and can deal with us man to man. I wonder how many of us are prepared to think that we can receive the kind of guidance, that we could have a guidance from the Lord that would say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Well, this is what Philip had. Now, I'm not going to say this should come to us any day. I'm not sure that it should come to every man. Only thing I wanted this time to bring out is, it did happen, and it did happen to Philip. And just for me to even concede that, for me to even open my heart and mind to the idea, I'm already moving up a long piece when I just think such things can be. This is what I wanted to bring to your attention. The angel of the Lord, whoever that was, and whatever it was like, there's no description, spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way which goeth from down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, just like that. No argument, no explanation. He just did. It's not as simple as that. A man just doesn't get up and leave the country. You didn't just move from one place to another, as simple as that. There must be something more involved. There is a readiness to go. I tell you, this man Philip was a man who, in our language, the way we'd say it, he had his luggage ready. He was ready to go. All he had to do was step in the car and turn on the ignition and step on the gas. That's all he had to do. He was ready. He was loaded, so to speak. Listen again. The angel said, "Arise, go toward the south." He arose and went. Simple as that? Yes. But all of that. Obedient. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. I think we could just say, with reference to this man, he was the treasurer. I think in our particular government system, we'd say he was secretary of the treasury. He was the comptroller of the realm, the man that had the money. He was the treasurer. And had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Although he was an Ethiopian, he was what we would call a proselyte. He was an Ethiopian who believed the Jewish faith, the Jewish teaching. And he came to Jerusalem to worship God after the manner of the Jews. He was returning. He had been of Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip. Now notice how in verse 29 we read, "The Spirit said unto Philip," the way you had in verse 26, "The angel of the Lord spake." I'm not going to say that these are two separated, different, and distinct things. It's just two different ways of saying something. It may be that the Spirit was involved in verse 26. It may be that this messenger was involved in verse 29. But you notice I said maybe, maybe. And maybe you can just drop it, so far as that is concerned. In other words, my explanations are not important, and not even explanations. They're just suggestions. They're not important. I just wanted you to see that, so far as Philip was concerned, he who could do what the angel asked him to do was also a man who could do what the Spirit asked him to do. And I wanted you to get the impression that there was really no real basic difference in the guidance that would come to him. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near, join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him. Don't miss that running. Ready. Quick to go. Oh, how often we drag our feet. When we have a feeling, you should invite that man to church. Sometime. In the next week or so. We mean by that. In a few months. We mean by that. Maybe next year. We mean by that. If it just happens that way. Oh, that's so different. "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran, that like that, ran thither to meet him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. Apparently this man was reading the Bible out loud, because of course the prophet Isaiah is what you have in the Old Testament, so we can say he was reading the Bible, and he was reading it out loud. "He heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" That is a reasonable comment or question on the part of a visitor, a man who met him. "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, that the Ethiopian, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And by the way, in passing, any of us who are ever interested in the matter of communicating Scripture, we're interested in talking about and teaching Scripture, we're interested in perhaps in Bible classes and so on, please notice that just reading the Scripture isn't enough. You know what I mean by that? If an unbeliever, a person who doesn't know the Lord, reads the Scripture, that can be helpful up to a certain point. Be far more helpful if someone who knew the Lord would show him what the Scripture means. That's what this is. "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Certainly I'm going to believe it, eventually. Before it'll do me any good, I have to believe it, but someone who knows about it could show it to me. "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So he made room in the chariot for him to come in, and doubtless to show him something about this. The place of the Scripture which he read was this. And here is a quotation out of the 53rd of Isaiah. This is the way it reads. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Now these two verses are just taken out of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. The eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same Scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. There is a clue for every Bible teacher, every preacher, every witness in the world. That's the way to do it. Take the scripture, you can start with any scripture, and lead the listener to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe me, that's the thing to do. Begin at the same scripture. It's not all there inside that 53rd chapter of Isaiah. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah has to be related to the rest of Scripture. It has to be related to the events of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't died on Calvary, Philip wouldn't have been able to preach this way. But since the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary and was led as a sheep to the slaughter when they put him on the cross, he was able to take that Old Testament passage and show this Ethiopian what it really meant in terms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Which is a way of saying, is there any reason why I should not be baptized the way Christians are? In other words, any reason why I couldn't be a Christian? Any reason why I couldn't be one of you? And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Notice what that means. And notice how it says. There, if you will let me say so, they've moved, you see, from the 53rd of Isaiah. They've moved from the 53rd of Isaiah right over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is this man who gives his personal testimony. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Now we'll pick up the study there again in our next lesson. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our hearts and to our minds as we think on these things. Help us to understand. Show us the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and speak to our hearts, and lead us nearer and nearer to thee as we go along. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.